Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello, welcome everyone to the distraction. I'm Jeremy.
Wow.
Joseph, major explosion.
Dude, I thought you said you've got like clearance to do it inside. What did you say? You claim this was. I didn't expect this to be a cutscene. Good lord, Jeremy. Well, that was something else. I don't know what I expected, but it wasn't that.
We have cinematic bits now, Joseph.
What's truly amazing about this is that bit was something that we reviewed 5 minutes after the match, and you had decided then you were going to do this as an intro. It is now rendered almost like it's a funny bit, but you know, everyone's moved on, right? But not only did you say, okay, I'm still going to do the bit, you did it in that fashion, that execution, just a still shot of you with the spring. Didn't you get clearance to do them inside? I don't know what I expected. I don't know, but that was not it. I don't know.
I didn't ask to get clearance to do it inside. I wanted to do sparklers. That was always part of the bit. And the girlfriend goes, I got these little pop rocks that you throw on the ground that, you know, make a sound. I was like, oh, man, we can definitely do that. And so that's what we did. We filmed that last night. Joseph?
Filmed it like it's a okay.
We're making movies.
Okay, Darby, whatever you say, bro. Yeah, this is just. I've said it before. I'll say it again. You're out of hand. You can't be tamed. I don't know what to say. You know, like I mean, here's the thing. I was workshopping some ideas with my brother earlier, and we were saying it would make sense for me to be triumphant today, right? Like to come on, like AEW saved the day. I don't have to retire. That is Okada, JL. I can now see the comments. Be wary. You know, I could come on here triumphantly. The All Elite Fleet lives to fight another day. Everyone likes Eddie Kingston and John Moxley again. TK's gaffe has been forgotten, wiped from the history books. And then I said to my brother, I was like, what's the point? Because Jeremy's going to start with a sprinkler display, which would completely undercut my bit. So I'm just going to come like I always do. I'm going to just come on and see what Jeremy has waiting for me. I came on like 5 minutes before go time. And he's like, it's going to be a different show today, Joe. Okay. What do you want me to do at this point? It is what it is. Apparently, we're going to talk about wrestling. I've seen no wrestling. Jeremy's going to have to glide this thing. Go ahead, my friend. Away you go.
I had to start the show with the explosion because if I built it up and ended it, I mean, it still would have been tremendous because it's a great bit. But I thought doing it as a start. And now we save it, Joseph. You know, the explosion. I hyped it as someone dying, big explosion. Maybe it didn't live up quite to the hype, yeah. But now we save it. We John Moxley, Eddie Kingston this shit, and we save everything.
You know, there are many wrestling comparisons we could make that I think frame us somewhat favorably, I would say. I don't know if Mox and Eddie is the one we should go for. I mean, we should stick within like our universe, you know, the wrestling podcast universe where everyone shuffles their papers and gets ready to discuss the great art of professional wrestling. I think within that world, we have a say. Mox and Eddie, probably best to be left for another day, Jeremy. We'll get there, though. We will get there, I promise.
JJ sends a super chat, says, hello to my favorite big stars. Today is a good day all around. Glad you're doing well, buddy. Seems Eddie and Mox can save anything along with Omega and Don. LOL 69 me. And then we have a super chat from Bud Ryan, says, Moxley compared to Batman and 69 me, Don, will live with me forever. Glad Eddie cut his best promo just for Joe Holbert. Not to retire. You lads, all the distraction nights out there are the best. NBA Ethan Page with Britt and BPW. Joseph, we got to talk about it, right?
What, NBA Ethan Page?
Yeah, talk about NBA Ethan Page.
Well, I didn't see this because the Fight TV was fine. So, I mean, you can talk about it. It certainly feels like our bit. I hear it was very exciting when the crowd was doing the defense, the fake crowd doing the defense, and Ethan was, you know, on the cell. So I was like, that was fun. I don't know. Good.
They're saying ain't no mountain high enough in the middle of it?
Oh, man. Okay, this sounds like I need to seek it out. I know that Tony was, I think you mentioned on Twitter, right? Like, Tony wasn't quite as passive-aggressive.
Yeah, he was just like, oh, got cleared up, you know, it's good. We're going to upload it to YouTube.
The great folks at TNT. Yeah. Like, he may as well have said, the pieces of shit Bleacher Report found me, but the great folks at TNT never will. Good stuff. You got to like it.
Joseph, Eddie Kingston, John Moxley. We reviewed AEW Revolution with our buddy Cassidy Haynes on Sunday. Everybody can go watch that after they get done watching this. Watch it in reverse like it's a Star Wars film. The big explosion that wasn't. Kingston and Moxley showed up on Dynamite. They joked. Kingston said he passed out because, you know, he has anxiety. He reminded him of being in prison. They joked about an Acme bomb and, you know, Impact potentially paying for the bomb. And then Don Callis came and said, this is all part of our plan. We win. You look like fools. You lose. He wanted a 69 with Kenny Omega, or Kenny Omega wanted a 69 with him. What'd you think of this explanation, Joseph?
On Sunday night, I was clearly struggling, Jeremy.
You were struggling.
This was only moments after the catastrophe, and I think we already began to piece together a few outs for them. So by Wednesday night, I was pretty confident they were going to come out of this okay. The explanation for Eddie was like, it's not ideal, but it wasn't out of character for him. He has a lot of baggage and a lot of like, it didn't feel like, oh my God, they've really had to reach. Obviously, it's not what they were going for, clearly. But it was always going to be fine because they're the best two guys in the industry to be put in such a position, right? Then two guys sitting next to each other. The charisma is always going to get them out of trouble. And I think this is the biggest compliment I can give them. I think they leave this Wednesday in a stronger position than they entered Revolution by like a pretty big distance. I think the MJF thing is now infinitely more interesting. I think they have Christian as a top babyface alongside Mox and Eddie as like a tandem. Like, I think they're in a good spot. That was a tremendous bounce back show when they needed it most. It's worth saying, you know, nothing new here. Everyone's got to deal with me and Ed Kingston, but it is incredible to think that he was just like a guy for an open challenge spot. Like, he now feels like one of the most kind of indispensable guys on their whole roster to me. You know, like, he to me is one of the most pure AEW guys there is on that whole crew. It was a major hit after one of the all-time misses that we'll relive forever and ever and ever. You got to say, I mean, I think it's a gold star for both of those guys that in history, when you tell the story, you're actually going to have to say, but fuck, they pieced it together pretty well, which is cool. I like that.
Music of Moonsault says that Mox Eddie promo may have been the best thing AEW has ever produced, considering what was at stake. Yeah, there was a lot at stake. They certainly needed an out there. They needed a good explanation on why that was such a dud. And I like Eddie and Moxley did great. I love their dynamic. I tweeted, went viral. We both went viral this week, Joseph. Big stars just going viral on the Twitter. Just give me 2 hours of them doing whatever they want to do, and I'll watch it. I thought that part was tremendous. The Don Callis promo, didn't care so much for that. I thought it just went on too long. Omega looked bored during this promo. He looked like he was bored and frustrated. Like, once Eddie came out, it got better, and I thought Callis did good there, like talking about their history and talking about how Eddie's kind of always a failure and he's never won that big one and stuff. I thought that got better. I thought Callis just went on way too long with his explanation. I thought it was like kind of too corny. Like, it's kind of it's almost a corny situation. And I get that Moxley and Eddie were kind of poking fun of that with Acme and Impact paying for the bomb and everything. But I thought they were too corny and too jokey with it. I don't know. I didn't like it. And again, I don't think Omega helped, where he's just like sitting there looking bored to death while Don is talking.
It's interesting. So I watched this show on delay. So I'm not watching it weird. I'm not saying you did, but like, you know, when you're watching that live, you get the opinions as they come through from social. I didn't get that. So for me, I really like that segment. I kind of think this is get Jeremy. You're not going to like this. Here we go. Ready? I think Don Callis worked you into a shoot, Jeremy Lambert. I think the Donaconda guy, he sunk his heel hands into you, and he convinced you that you were bored and you hated this man. Because while he does have a tendency of talking circles a little bit, which I can relate very much, Don, I thought it was good shit. I mean, here's the thing. It's hard for me to look back at that portion of the segment because the second half of it I thought was so good.
Yes. Yeah.
So maybe if I watch it just on its own. It did feel a little bit like they were kind of like, yeah, going round and round about whether it was his decision or not. I understand. But I'll say this, okay? Our friend the Invisible Hand, he often will talk about how guys don't know how to get over and all this stuff. Let me tell you something, man. He is a heel. That dude's he is a complete dick. You know, when he talks, the crowd wanted to cheer Eddie anyway, but they came up huge for him when Don was just being a piece of shit because he's that good of a heel. He, to me, and, you know, I think you have a different opinion on him because you have to, like, watch his interviews and stuff where he talks about the business and how he dictates everything. But I think he has been so good for that product. Like, Omega cutting these promos on his own, man, I think would be a challenge, yeah. You know? Because he's zany and he's entertaining, but big, long promos, I don't know about that, you know?
I think Don has been great for Omega in this role. I thought he rambled on too long here. And maybe he was, maybe like he does, Joseph, he's the invisible hand controlling me, and he's got me, you know, dancing on a string here. But regardless, it didn't work for me. When Eddie came out, great. When Moxley came out and Christian came out, all that was great. And that's what people are going to mostly remember. Like, they'll probably move on for the most part from this explosion stuff. They said what they needed to say. I don't know how much more they're going to focus on it moving forward. But and they have the story there with Eddie not being able to win. They got one over on the baby faces and everything. Like, the points are there. I get the points. I just wasn't a big fan of the promo.
That's fine. I'm not saying you're an idiot. I'm just saying you worked and into a shoot like a foolish fan in the audience. You worked like a mark.
One of those filthy marks
doesn't understand this business interest. That's what I'm saying. How dare you dislike a heel? Well, you know, I should have you banned from this show. But here's the thing. Let's talk big picture here, okay? Are we headed to, is Christian going to be the Double or Nothing opponent with a six man along the way? Or is Eddie going to be the Double or Nothing opponent? Or is it someone that's not even in this picture right now because that's too far away?
I think Christian is way more likely as the Double or Nothing opponent than Eddie. No offense to Eddie.
Here's the thing. How do you maneuver the Christian to the Double or Nothing? How do you do this?
Yes, that's where I'm kind of struggling as well, because Double or Nothing's not till the end of May. Like, this is a very long ways out. Like, you've got to kind of pace this with Christian. And I don't know how willing they're going to be to pace it. Why can't Christian be the champion going into Double or Nothing? Like, what if he beats Omega on television?
Perhaps. I mean, I think they're going to have a big Dynamite on the Takeover night, right? I would guess they don't want NXT to go out on a win. It would be my, if I was them, I would like to, you know, twist and dagger, so to speak. So, and I think they will do that. To me, it's like, here's the deal. I think you're going to get that six-man tag as a main event at some point, because that's a big match, right?
Yeah.
The fact they're doing Mox and Eddie against the Good Brothers next week, that feels like it's indicative of something, man. Because that's the sort of match you could have dragged out for a little bit, and they're just going straight to that tag match, you know? Like,
and especially,
you could have easily done,
and especially next week, I mean, you're headlining with Rosa and Britt Baker. You've got Cody and Penta on that show as well.
Right.
Yeah, like, that's not even gonna main event. And like, okay, I'm glad that Rosa and Britt Baker is the main event, but you would think John Moxley, Eddie Kingston against Good Brothers is a main event match, and it's second from the top, but that's like, it's a big card next week.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and it makes you think, like, they could have easily done, you know, Mox and Eddie against the Butcher and the Blade, right? They easily could have done that. So yeah. I agree with you, and that feels like, too, my initial guess was that they would do Eddie and Omega as like a Dynamite special in April, you know, somewhere around there. And then they would get to Christian, but it's like, Christian's already standing next to Omega. Like, it's interesting. Maybe they just do that, man. Maybe they just roll the dice and have Christian come in with the best match he thinks he can have against Omega, and he kind of works, this is going to sound backwards, but he's in his career, it may make sense, where he kind of works backwards, you know, works down the card. And he starts Omega, has a classic match, and then he uses that kind of refueled cachet, so to speak, to have great matches across the roster. It'll be interesting. My instincts are Christian's double or nothing, but I just, you know, as you say, it's like it's 11 weeks away, I think, of TV. So at least if it was Eddie, you could at least go, you know, you could use the Mox tag stuff as like a bridge in that direction. Because I think you're going to get Kenny and Eddie in a singles at some point. I just would assume it's Dynamite, because Don's promo was too wired in and focused on Eddie to not do that. It's interesting. They have 101 ways to go. They could also do Pac at the pay-per-view. So I don't know.
I definitely think you're getting Omega and Eddie on a Dynamite. And I still think Christian is the double or nothing guy. I mean, you could easily build an entire show. I mean, they built an entire show around Eddie and Moxley, or Moxley and Omega for Dynamite. So it's not like they're opposed to like just doing this on free TV. So they could do Omega and Christian on television. Feels like that's more of a pay-per-view match. With Christian, like, he came in, he hasn't said a word yet, and it's clear where they're positioning him, though. They see him, they hyped him as Hall of Fame worthy. They hyped him as a major, major star. That's what he is to them. There's no, you know, people are going to be, oh, he's been a mid-carder for life. He, you know, what are they going to do with him in AEW? Like, he's their top guy. Like, he's almost their top babyface right now. Mm-hmm. They're positioning immediately right across from Kenny Omega.
How do you feel about that? Like, just you personally?
I'm fine with it, because you know I'm a Christian guy. Like, I don't think if you're going to sit here and be like, oh, Edge, WrestleMania main event, this is great, and then be mad at Christian coming in and getting a main event spot against Kenny Omega, I don't see the argument there. Like, and I think Christian's better than Edge. I think the role should be reversed, Joseph, and Edge should be in AEW as a mid-card guy, and Christian should be main eventing WrestleMania. But
yeah, you know, I agree, but we're going to get run off the internet if we do that kind of thing, so we should be careful. But I think it's interesting. I think there's something... I think he's trying to make a statement, Christian, with how little he, like the fact that he hasn't spoke yet, right? The whole outwork everyone thing, while perhaps slightly embarrassing for a man in his 40s, I believe it is a message he's trying to send of like, he's not here to be the guy that comes out and does the big up North brother again. Like, he's done that deal, been there, done that. You know, like, he wants to come in and have matches. That's why it wouldn't surprise me if he came in and was just like, I'm going to do this Omega match and just prove like I'm a top guy on this roster talent-wise. I don't know how I'd feel about it. I'd have to see how they get there. The issue is that what is the, you know, is the core conflict between Christian and Omega? What would it be for prolonged TV? We already know what his issue is with Moxley, right? That's done, basically.
Yeah.
And Eddie is like a, he's kind of like a, you know, a transition where you can continue the heat from that. And then with Don, you have this new story where it's like this weird, I fired you once, fiasco. With Christian, we have no clue what that would be. I'm sure, you know, those guys are creative enough to come up with something, but it does feel like there are moving pieces at play here that the way they handle them, I think, could be pretty important. I really do. You know, like, I think Moxley's in an interesting spot himself, because I don't think he's wrestling for that belt for a while. So are him and Eddie just going to be a team for now? I mean, I haven't got a problem with that. Would you, Jeremy? I think that'd be fun, but... If you're starting with the Good Brothers, like, you know, there's not a lot of up from there. So,
do you think we get kind of a screwy finish next week? Because,
yeah,
I mean, maybe Impact doesn't care that if their tag team champions get beat on television. I mean, Tony Khan's on Impact Television every week, burying the company anyway. They're taking shots at him last night on Dynamite. Whatever. I think they're just kind of happy with the publicity right now. But like, are you going to beat the Good Brothers, the Impact Tag Team Champions, or are you going to have Moxley and Eddie take a loss here? And then from there, what happens with them? So I'm not saying they book themselves into a corner. I trust AEW to know what they're doing here more than I would WWE, but it's very quick to go with this match, and you're going to need... You know, somebody's got to win, somebody's got to lose on it.
Well, in fear of getting ahead of myself here, Jeremy, but I think there's a real chance. You know, Impact Special is Saturday, right? Next Wednesday, I think there's a real chance that Mox and Eddie win that match, and it's announced immediately that's the title match for
No Surrender? Or Rebellion. Rebellion. That show.
Yes. And okay. To add more to this, who is Deonna going to wrestle at Rebellion? Well,
Jazz.
I don't think she is. I mean, it would make an awful lot of sense for it to be someone from the All Elite Fleet. So, with that,
the Rebellion is just basically an AEW versus Impact show.
Yes. I mean, I think that makes some sense, don't you? Like, if you think about when that feud started, the promotional, you know, crossing over started in December. That's an April pay-per-view. I think that would be logical to me. If not, you could just have, Callis gets involved and they pin Eddie. It would not make, you know, Kingston's bulletproof is fine. But
yeah.
I don't think it's the best idea. But, like, Gallows and Anderson are very protected act, so I think that would make sense.
I think that's where the screwy finish comes in, is Callis just kind of screws over Moxley and Eddie here. And again, they're not going to lose anything from it. It's tough to pin a clean fall on Moxley and or Kingston, though, in this situation, especially if you are building to the eventual match with Eddie and Omega. I think you could honestly hang a clean fall easier on Moxley than you could Kingston at this point.
Maybe. I think one of the good brothers are going to get pinned in the aforementioned six-man. I think we'll get at this point. You know, like, I could see them having Christian pin a Gallows and Anderson in his first match back. So that may be an impact here too. The one thing I would say is, with the promo that Don cut, I think Eddie could have some great fun cutting promos about how he's going to roll into the Impact world and get those Impact tag titles with Moxie. I think that'd be a big deal for Impact, you know? So it'll be interesting. I think this week's show for Dynamite was a very good bounce back show, but it was also, I thought, a pretty upfront kind of admission of, like, geez, we need to balance our roster a little bit here, right? Because Tony Khan mentioned after the show on Sunday that, like, Ethan Page is going to help them as a heel because they had to switch all of Dark Order babyface. And it's like, well, on this show, Scorpio officially turned heel.
Mm-hmm.
Penta, officially, to me, I mean, his line was a heel line, right?
You're going to break your arm, you won't be able.
Right, but the Death Triangle, you know, was Penta a heel when they were fighting, like, Eddie? I don't know.
I kind of thought he was always a heel.
So either way, I think they can legitimately switch the Death Triangle heel in this feud. Now, whether I do it or not, the whole trio. Lance Archer was awful heelish when he interrupted Sting, right? Mm-hmm. Like, Inner Circle all flip babyface. So I think they now realize, because this roster is very much now more than ever, you can split up like 90% of their guys into either the monster category or like the high flyer category. And, you know, naturally the high flyer is going to be babyface, monster is going to be heels. You can't beat those monsters all the time because then none of them are monsters. I think they're going to have an issue with this. Like, Eddie became their heel that you could kind of beat and he would stay over because he can talk. That's gone now. So even Paige is going to have to get ready for that role because I don't think they've got anyone else who can fit. Like, maybe Scorpio can. I don't know. It was definitely a week where it felt like they were adjusting stuff, though, on the fly to me.
What'd you make of the big closing angle where we got our horsemen? We got our five horsemen now with MJF, Wardlow, FTR, and Sean Spears, and they're gonna feud with the Inner Circle.
It was a good angle. I think it definitely left me more excited as to what's going on. I think it's a lock for Blood and Guts, right? I think that's everyone's assumption. I think it was a good character moment for the Inner Circle guys, in the sense that, yes, these men are complete dicks, but they're loyal, you know? Like, it would have been awful hollow, I always thought, if MJF just stole them. Like, Santana and Ortiz going with MJF over Jericho would always feel like, oh, really? That doesn't seem like that. This was much more in line, and it also made MJF look smart without burying the baby faces. So I thought it was a win. The faction itself is promising. I'm glad he still has Wardlow by his side.
Yeah.
I think it's a great fit for Sean Spears because he's kind of a, you know, secondary sounds dismissive, but he's a good supporting actor, right?
He's not the guy. He's a good hand.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he's the guy, let's be honest, he's the guy to take falls in the team, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's a good thing that all the guys in the team, in the faction, none of their ideologies seem at odds with MJF, where it's like, Yeah, and then you've got this guy that does all the cool moves. Like, none of those dudes give a shit about that, right? Like, Spears is a good fit in that sense. I think Ethan Page would have been too, but they want to do other stuff with him. So I think he's a good fit. I like the faction. They've got a lot of factions.
They love their stables.
It's a good fit because it keeps guys on TV, but it is a little bit dizzying, I would say, for the – ready for this, Jeremy? The casual fan is very – I mean, it can be dangerous because there's a lot of people and it's a little bit much. It's a little much. But, I mean, MJF with TR has always been good. And for all these comparisons about MJF, he's a great heel and all this good stuff. If he can be 75% the heel Tully Blanchard was, he's pomp, they're in a good spot. He's actually a perfect mentor for MJF, in truth, which I think is kind of lost on some people. So, big thumbs up. I mean, everyone expected a big angle when they were main eventing, and I think they got that. I just think it was a hit.
Yeah, once it showed that they were main eventing, you kind of figured, oh, Chris Jericho getting kicked out of the Inner Circle. You knew something was going down. Like, they're not main eventing that, especially because they did – I mean, they had the TNT title match, and they turned Scorpio. Like, you could close with that Scorpio turn, but they clearly had something with the MJF new faction here, and so they thought that was worthy of main eventing. I think they made the right call on that. We talked about this faction before, and I never really saw like MJF as like a leader of a faction like this. I thought it was good. Like, I thought him and Wardlow work because, all right, he's a rich prick. He gets a bodyguard. Like, that makes sense. Having like a full faction around it, I just never saw it. He always just seemed like more of a singles guy who has the bodyguard type thing, not, you know, surrounded by multiple people. I think MJF is going to be great at it. Because of the guys he's working with. And you're right that it all fits, like, the ideology. Like, FTR is not coming in doing flips because MJF hates that shit. And Sean Spears isn't really that guy either. And they've been setting it up for a while. The betting stuff with Spears and MJF, you know, it seems like this is a point where, again, I will give AEW credit and be like, they were probably planting the seeds then. You know, WWE likes to do this stuff. Oh, they've been building this for 7 years. Look at all the seeds they planted. Like, no, they probably just ditched some shit 7 years ago. And then 7 years later down the line, oh, okay, yeah, we can call back to this moment and stuff. We weren't actually planning a 7-year feud here. They were probably setting this up when they were doing those angles and those skits and everything back then. I think it's great. Here's my, not issue, but my concern. Babyface Inner Circle. Santana, Ortiz, Sammy, think they'll be fine. Chris Jericho, Jake Hager, little worried about them, you know, and how they're going to act as babyfaces.
Look, I think we should split Hager and Jericho here. I understand for the audience that watches this show, we are all big-time nerds that are online a lot, okay? But, like,
no.
AEW audience is cheering Jericho, bro. they sing that song with all their hearts. Yeah. Hager, hey, that's a roll of the dice. he's just a big body that can kind of fight Wardlow. Like, I think he'll be fine. I mean, it's a hell of a play by the Chris. On contract year, flip himself babyface. You got to love it. And merch sales are going to go up. I think it will be fine. Is it my ideal first War Games match? No, definitely not. Do I think it'll be good? Yeah, and I actually think, you know, Jericho, for all of this conversation about Jericho, I actually think him being in it could help War Games in the sense that he prevents it from becoming what War Games is now, which is like, you know, just, it's become like just a stunt show with 8 guys. So to me, Jericho could ground it in the same way you're going to need to with guys like Hager and Wardlow. I mean, it can help. So I think that's a positive. Am I super excited about that whole feud? Not really. I think it'll be fine. I think it'll be good stuff. Now, here's a question for you, Jeremy Lambert. This is big picture stuff because I don't want to talk about any other wrestling. Brandon Green says, I like these homeless guys. That's a very good comment, Brandon. I appreciate that. I like you too. So, there has been some discussion today about long-term planning in professional wrestling, okay? And this has become a, what we call in the industry, a dialogue. Do you care if the promotion you watch is planning long-term and has an idea of where they're going? Or does it make no difference to you as long as the content is good?
It doesn't make a difference to me as long as the content is good. I think it's good that they have a long-term plan because it shows they put some thought into it. And it's fun to look back much like the Sean Spears MJF stuff, it's fun to look back and be like, oh man, like they were planning this. Like all of this makes sense. People have pointed out in like MJF interviews, he's very complimentary of like Tully and FTR and things. It's like, oh, you know, were they planting seeds there? I think it's fun to look back. And if you're somebody who pays really close attention to that stuff, I think it's fun for you. Myself personally, like I watch all the shows, I see some seeds being planted and everything, and that's great. But as long as the show is just good, I don't care behind the scenes how much they have of it planned out.
It's interesting, right? Because I think there are some things that are definitely like, they're cute little callbacks. So like, for example, you mentioned with MJF, like in the contract signing with Moxley, he was, what did he say? Like, you admire Mick Foley or whoever, I admire Tully Blanchard and some other guys. And it's like a small thing that looks pretty neat now. Or like, for example, 1 year ago, the Dynamite After Revolution was the show where they did to Moxley exactly what happened to Inner Circle this year. They did the exact same thing to him. They took him up the ramp, powerbombed him off the ramp.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a cool little mirror thing for those of the fans that really, really pay attention and lock in. But I don't think that is... that to me, that's not long-term storytelling as much as it's like attention to detail, you know? And they go under the same umbrella, don't wrong. So a good example would be... we'll never know what the case is. This is the way these things are, right? So if you watch a TV show, you don't know when this arc was concluded and such. How many weeks on this show did I spend fantasy booking Mox and Eddie coming together, right?
Mm-hmm.
Quite a few. If they never pay that off, like my faith, probably be the wrong word, but like my interest in kind of pondering what's next is damaged by that. I often felt like when I was watching that whole thing, I was picking up pieces that were not there because I felt like an insane person. I was fantasy booking saying they wasn't even referenced on TV. I am, yeah. But when they had it close the pay-per-view, as a fan, I was left sitting back saying, holy shit, I am insane, but I was correct. They did too see what I saw. This was a story they could tell, you know, they could prolong. And we'll never know, but I truly believe they always intended to get to the point they're at now with those two as a babyface kind of, you know, buddy cop deal. In the same way, and this is, I want to stress this is not a AEW versus WWE thing as much as it's just like ideology, but I have to use WWE because they're a good example. When you're in our field, makes sense, I'm getting paid. When you're in our world, people were at the last year, they'll be like, where do you think they're going with this, Joe? And it's like, at some point, my answer becomes, for some of this stuff, what am I guessing here? Because they don't know themselves. You know, like, I'm basically just talking to myself. There's no, you know, like, who's this guy going to face WrestleMania? I don't know, dude. They're going to figure out next week. What's the point of me guessing? For my personal interest and enjoyment, I do believe that if you tell me enough times that paying attention to the wins and losses and the ups and downs of each week means nothing, I do think that's a problem. I do. To me, like when something happens in WWE, I legitimately, my brain tells me not to care. You know, like I'm like, well, this will be forgotten, so why am I going to remember it? It's not like a big deal. It's very inside baseball and niche, and it's for the wrestling nerd, no doubt. But I do think when inevitably for WrestleMania, they're going to have to heat up matches like overnight because they've just got to them and conclude this is the match we're going to do. I think it makes a difference. I really do. So it's an interesting conversation because I saw some of it being like, who gives a shit? And I get that. But I'd give a shit, Jeremy. I do. It's me. I'm the one who gives a shit.
So here's where I'm at. I think the long-term planning is great. We do this show every week. We do like 500 shows a week. And we like to talk about long-term plans. And we discuss that stuff more with AEW because you can tell there's actually some thought into it, right? Whereas WWE... we have a very tough time trying to be like, where they're going with Bray Wyatt and Randy Orton and Alexa Bliss and stuff. What's happening here? My kind of counter to that is like, I don't think they had a long-term plan with Bobby Lashley. At the Rumble, like, do you think they actually knew, oh yeah, we're going to put the title on Bobby Lashley in the next couple of weeks? But the content that they've done with Bobby Lashley since like the Rumble, even before the Rumble, I mean, you thought that they were going with Lashley. I don't know how much you like truly believed it. You're just like, I think they're putting a lot of wins on this guy. It's like they're going to do something with him, right, Jeremy? Like, that's basically what you're saying. You're like, I think they'll give him the title. And like they did, so they paid it off. How much long-term planning was in that? I don't know. But the content of the Lashley stuff, you can look back at it and be like, this is great. I do think for discussion purposes, because we do like to kind of fantasy book and try to figure out where they're going and stuff, because that's fun for us. For that, it is more fun if you do have to pay attention to those things and you can try to plan that out. Where with the Alexa Bliss, Randy Orton, I'm just using this example because it's been going on for 5 months now, and they clearly don't know what they're doing because Asuka just loses random matches. Like, it's tough to try to piece together where that's going because you can tell on a week-to-week basis they have no idea where that's going.
I agree. So I think we've covered it pretty conclusively as far as our perspective, right? So now, to make this a little bit less nerdy, let's try and figure out what impact this has on, here we go again, ready? The casual viewer, Jeremy, okay? It's what I'm going to try. We're going to try to do here. So Bobby Lashley is kind of the exception, not the rule. And here's why. Not whether they planned it or not, they actually protected Bobby Lashley.
Yeah.
So he was in a position where you could slot him in, and heat-wise, momentum-wise, you had got him where he needed to be, you know? Now, here's the thing. There are other examples. So here's one I'll give you. A couple of years ago at SummerSlam, they did Becky and Natty, right? Natalya had not won a match before that, before she like got contendership to be in a match. She hadn't won a match for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Because clearly what happened is they had rolled up to that July TV and gone, shit, SummerSlam's in Canada? Just do Natty. Okay, here's the problem with that. That match comes around, and whether you're a nerd like me or you're someone who just watches Raw every week, you didn't buy Natty for a million years because they didn't know she was going to be at the SummerSlam match. They didn't have time to give her wins through April, May, June, July. You know, if I know I need someone to be important by SummerSlam, I have 5 months to get her there. If I find out she's going to be important at SummerSlam in July, that's tough. So when you look at a card like WrestleMania, it's like, who's a good example of someone who's just kind of floating around aimlessly? I don't know. Let's just say someone gets hurt. Let's say someone gets hurt or something happens and they decide, okay, we need Rey Mysterio for a major match at WrestleMania. I mean, that would be quite the challenge at this point because you've beaten Reigns to canvas, right? Like, it's who's AJ working? Hopefully they know the answer to that. I haven't got a clue.
This is where long-term planning would certainly help, but it also, you can do this week to week if you just do it correctly. The problem with somebody like WWE is just like, let's just 50-50 everybody. Joseph, we play TEW every other Friday on twitch.tv/FightfulGaming. You know, we essentially book, sometimes we have some long-term stuff, but we essentially book kind of like week to week, right? But in our minds, we might have one or two little threads like, okay, we should probably do this here. So you can do it week to week as long as it still makes sense. The problem with a company like WWE is a lot of that shit doesn't make sense. And so the content suffers. Like, if the content is good, even if you're doing it week to week, I don't have an issue with it. My issue is when the content sucks. And most weeks with WWE, the content sucks. And maybe that is because they don't long-term plan.
And this is where Asuka, you mentioned a moment ago, becomes relevant, right? Now, you know, an alleged scoopster that we may or may not know suggested that Lacey Evans was supposed to be the Raw Women's Champ. Okay, so if that's the case, then I guess it made no difference beating Asuka in January with Alexa. But I can tell you for certain, without knowing anyone in the industry, that when they did that Asuka and Alexa match, if you'd have asked them, okay, what does this mean for WrestleMania? They would have, like, exploded in front of you. They would have just blown up. Like, what are you talking about, WrestleMania? It's January. Well, the reason it matters.
Hey, guys. Have you ever wondered what happened to the legendary Chuck Norris? I saw a video he made, and I was shocked. He is in his 80s, still kicking butt, working out, staying active. He looks like he's got more energy, can work out longer, even has plenty of that energy left over for his grandkids, and he did this by making one change. He said that he still feels like he's in his 50s. His wife even started doing this thing too. She's never felt better. She says she feels 10 years younger, her body looks leaner, has energy all day, and Chuck's made a 20-minute video explaining step-by-step how anyone can do this same thing to see incredible changes in their health. Staying active is important. Moving around keeps you feeling good. Making sure that you take care of your gut health, your digestion, just overall is also very important. Right now, you can go to mymorningkick.com/Fightful. Watch Chuck's video right now. That's mymorningkick.com/Fightful. Check out what Chuck Norris has to say. What's got him feeling so good these days? He explains everything, and you won't believe how simple it is.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly, but then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Is because now, if she's well, and I hope she is, we're going to do Asuka as the champ at WrestleMania, and she couldn't mean less as champ because you've beaten her with Alexa. You've not done anything to build her up because you never cared to do that because you didn't know where you were going to end up with Asuka. Like, this is where the pitfalls, they're just little missteps each week a lot of time. But man, they can become a big deal, and this is why, in my humble opinion, they have become so reliant on part-timers and legends. Because those are the guys they can't beat every week on TV. So they're always going to be strong. You can always draft in someone who doesn't wrestle on TV often because, you don't have to worry about just beating them randomly, on any given Raw. So this is very kind of a meta thing. I understand that. But I do think it's worth kind of – I feel like saying like WrestleMania, man. I feel like you need to have it locked in what you're doing there. I really do, otherwise, I just don't know how you kind of maximize what it could be. I understand wanting to be flexible. I get that. But, man, you're asking a lot of yourself booking a two-night WrestleMania in the last few months. You know, it's like Lashley, I agree with you. It's gone well. But let's be honest. It's been chaos. He changed the title and did a title rematch 1 month before WrestleMania. It's insanity. But this is where we're at. I don't know. Maybe it's not a problem. I'm not sure.
Yeah, here's how you come up with the solution here for the week-to-week stuff. Don't beat your champions. Just don't beat them on television like that. Actually protect them. And don't do 50-50 rematches every week. Like, just don't do that kind of stuff. You can do week-to-week booking and actually have some of it make sense and book it on the fly. But the problem with their booking is they book the same matches over and over again, just with a different result to where everyone is just equal. And so they do beat their champions every week. And so then it doesn't make sense. I do agree. Look, you've got to have some long-term planning. I don't think anybody's surviving if you're just going week to week the entire time. Like I said, we both play a lot of TEW, and we don't just do week to week. Like, we know our next pay-per-view. We're like, okay, what's our big match? How are we getting there? Some undercard stuff, we get there. We just do it kind of on the fly and stuff. But for main stuff, like, yeah, you definitely need a plan on that stuff. WrestleMania, I don't know how they don't have, like, the WrestleMania card should be very obvious by now. And this could be a good thing. This could be a bad thing, but it should be very obvious. AJ Styles hasn't lost in like 6 months. I have no idea what this man is doing at WrestleMania. They're doing, I guess, Shane and Braun, which just became a thing and already is god awful. I don't know who Lashley's even facing. I think it's going to be Drew, but I don't know that for certain. I mean, if Brock says, yeah, I'll come back and do Lashley at Mania, it's going to be Brock. It's not going to be Drew. So they don't have an idea what they're doing with a lot of this stuff.
Yeah, and again, I can only speak for myself. As someone who is on this side of the fence and has to talk about this stuff, it kills my interest. You know, like, so this week for Raw, I haven't even done this for next year, but for Raw and SmackDown, I watch them exclusively via the YouTube clips, you know? The little mini snippets of the show. And it's like, this is the deal, right? It's like, I kind of, we all laugh about the whole thing of, you know, the people have changed. They watch things differently now, but you can easily watch Raw that way, man. it isn't like I missed anything.
Right. Like, we aren't really match guys. At least I'm not. Like, if there's a great match, we'll say it's a great match and we'll enjoy it and everything. But like, on Raw, if they like the Sheamus and Drew match was very good on Raw. I'm not going to tell you, yeah, you need to watch this entire 15-20 minute match to understand everything that's going on. Like, we get invested into more of the stories and the characters than we do this week by week match, right? I think I'm fair in saying that.
Yeah, I agree. But I do think it's product. Like, I can tolerate empty excitement on AEW more than WWE because they at least have like the semblance of the result of the match will matter.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they have, I mean, they put wins and losses and stuff on a screen for a reason.
Just generally, like, so if a match is good on Raw, and I'm not knocking this because it is very simple TV wrestling tool. Like, if two guys have a good match on Raw, you're probably going to get it again at some point in the next few weeks because it's good TV. They'll just do it again.
Yes.
It isn't the same way, which is, again, a small difference, and it's the same way in other promotions where they don't run matches back. But, yeah, I think generally we're guys that would, especially with WWE TV, we would prefer kind of stories and promos that we can sink our teeth into rather than just like, man, this 30-minute Sheamus match is something else. Like, I'm kind of cool with that, yeah.
Right, so watching Raw on clips is very easy because you don't need to watch like a full match. You just watch kind of the promos you need to. And I mean, most of the promos on Raw are just pretty generic and you don't have to really pay attention to that stuff either. I don't know. Like, I do think you can, again, to go back to your original question, I'm fine with week-to-week stuff if you don't have like a overall like one-year plan or anything, as long as it's good content. Because we're talking WWE, AEW here. With WWE, it's typically not good content. And that's when the flaws of not having a plan really show up. So in the end, maybe I was wrong in what I said earlier. Have a fucking plan. Like, it doesn't have to be, again, it doesn't have to be a one-year thing. It really doesn't. But have a plan on what you're going to do kind of at least, you know, every 3 months or something. Like, have a plan on that stuff.
Yeah, I think to put a bow on it, it's like the core of your point is the truth, right? It's one thing to settle on doing Shane and Drew 6 weeks, say Shane and Braun 6 weeks before the show. But the real reason that stuff sucks is because it just isn't. The promos are terrible. The story is terrible. Like, that's nothing to do with planning even, right? That particular case is just bad TV. So I think you're right. Within myself, though, people that have read my content for a long time, I mean, in January, I did, like, you know, routes to WrestleMania. I often will do kind of, you know, what are the best matches for this roster at WrestleMania? In that sense, you can see why my interest is dwindling, because if there's one thing I enjoy about it, it is trying to map out their, like, their route. And I just, you know, I look, I don't think they have one. It's like, at that point, I'm just sort of looking at an empty mirror, you know, shattered glass, so to speak. Like, Mojo Rawley that time, Jeremy. You know, like, it just seems like a pointless venture. I'm not saying it isn't fun sometimes as kind of mindless insanity, but man, it's killed my personal interest. What this really was, which was therapy, because I refused to watch those shows in full this week, and I just thought it was worth tackling, you know. But Fastlane next week, Jeremy, you fired up?
Let me catch up on some super chats here. Carlos Easy says, best heel promo in the biz, Don Callis. Carlos, you're killing the best heel in the biz Baron Corbin gimmick here. What are we doing? What else do we got? I'm way behind on this stuff. I apologize, everybody. Joseph and I just we got rolling here, you know? We get rolling and we just we forget about everybody. My skits are getting more and more hilarious. Thank you, JJ. I agree. I mean, look, I got an executive producer now, so look out. But Ryan says Christian is champ. Yeah, because that's how I roll. I have that shirt actually. Ace Podcast Nation, what's going on, man? What's going on, Cy? Just popped in to say Jezza and Joey H got Mad King love for you guys. Some damn good brothers. Thanks, Cy. Hope you're doing well, buddy. Kevin Steet says Mox, Eddie, and Shooter for the trios title. Man, if they could get Shooter in there, it'd be great. Ray Callahan, what if Don screws Omega? AEW title goes in. I don't think that's happening. I think Callis is tied to Omega. He's always been tied to Omega. Frank says, as someone who has watched all your TW shows, I literally can't wait to see what happens with the asshole wedding. You guys always make my week. See, that's long-term planning, Joe. We've got a wedding planned for like 6 months.
Actually true. He's proved that point on step one here.
We did. There you go. But we didn't know that's where we were going. We ended up getting Nia Jax and getting Bobby Lashley. And so we're like, oh, we can throw that in there. So you got to be adaptable. I think a good mix is what you need.
There you go. I agree. Yeah, I can't believe that just actually happened. We've got our booking credited off that conversation. There you go.
Yeah, Taxler, long-term booking, hiding hits and promos, layers. Bray Wyatt is all elite. Look, he's a multi-time Fightful Award winner, Bray Wyatt. Aaron Entertainment, feels like we're getting Orton Alexa instead of Fiend at WrestleMania. Now, Joseph, you're on Orton Alexa at Fastlane, and then we'll get the return of the Fiend. He's in a box. You found out he's in a box.
He is, right? Did I imagine that, or is that what happened? He's in a box, right?
Yeah, Alexa's like, not yet. And then she set the ring post on fire.
I mean, there's worse lives to live, right? Just fine. Dude, I mean,
Bray has been off television since December. It's still collecting the same money, still one of the stars of the show because of this Alexa and Randy feud. Mm-hmm. This man has the life. This is what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to not actually do this show. I'm just trying to send in my bits and everything and, you know, just pre-taped segments, and I don't have to do anything.
So here's the deal, okay? I'm going to talk about the Fiend Bray Wyatt now. Do you want to put the mask up, Jeremy?
Or are
you
yes, yeah. Hold on.
I like to warn the audience. Yes.
There we go.
The Fiend Bray Wyatt. So... Who was the gentleman that commented that? It was a good comment about it looks like Randy Alexa.
I believe it's Aaron Entertainment. Yes, Aaron Entertainment.
Okay. So I do think there is increasingly, as we get closer here, a chance that he's right. And it's framed as a funhouse match between Alexa and Randy. And Alexa takes Randy through all of this like torment and, you know, all this stuff. And then eventually Bray returns, you know, like at the end of the funhouse, because she said a few weeks back, like, you're going to face everything you've done or whatever the hell. She didn't say that. She just said the first part. And it's like, I just don't know how you could have a man come back from being burnt to pieces and be like, anyway, I'm going to fight you in the Firefly funhouse. Like, I don't know if it works that way. I feel like Alexa may have to do. Here's the thing. Okay. I'm going to be frank here. If all of this is just like for an actual professional wrestling match, for Alexa Bliss is just in the Fiend Bray Wyatt's corner, asking a lot of men.
It can't be, right?
Like, I don't even know if it's like a match at this point. Like, I feel like Alexa's so involved, you at least have to frame it as just like Randy goes into the funhouse. You know, like, I don't know if you can just do like Bray versus Randy. The thing is insane. Randy and Alexa have been feuding exclusively for like generally 3 months. It's ridiculous.
Remember when Orton RKO'd her, and then like 2 weeks later, they just like cross paths going up the ramp and everything?
Yeah, that's I remember people were saying, they was asking me, like, do you think Alexa's going to be in the Raw title thing? And I was like, I'm going to be honest, guys. I'm pretty sure she's just with Bray Wyatt now. She beats Asuka, and everyone's like, see? And it's like, sure, maybe. 1 week later, who was correct? They didn't know what they were doing. They just had to get another, you know, go and have a TV main event out of it. God bless them. It's honestly, this is my genuine take. I've done this before. I'm going to do it again. While absurd, I respect the thing Bray Wyatt, okay?
Because you have to.
But not just because of that reason. Obviously, we respect him. But on a show that is that dry, at least there we get fun out of discussing, like, Randy doing the licorice and the... Like, it's like wrestle crap, you know? Like... I'm for it, because when everything else on Raw is just like that, Drew's like crying about his Irish mate, and they're fighting about God only knows what. You know, like it's. I thought it was AJ found it as funny as I did. He was like, "This stuff's insane. What are you doing here, fighting the Alexa Bliss Randall Orton?" He doesn't know. He's at least got some personality, Jeremy. I mean, I love Bob Lashley, but he's fighting the Miz. It's a very sad show, as I'm telling you. Even via clips, when you see stuff like Shayna has like a 3-minute match with, who did Shayna wrestle? Help me out. Was it Naomi and Shayna this week?
Yeah, I think so. Sure.
Just these weird short.
No, matches. It was a tag team match. They did the women's tag team title match with no builder. I mean, no advertisement or anything. They sort of built it, but no advertisement.
Here's what's fun about Raw now is, like, you know when Paulie Dangerously had the pencil. There was this, whether you thought it was good or bad, because that guy is obviously, you know, he's old. But you could tell what guys he intended to push, right?
Yeah.
Whether you thought he was doing a good or bad job, you knew what guys he wanted to get over. If you ask me who they're pushing on Monday Night Raw now, I honestly have no idea. So obviously Bobby Lashley, he's the world champ. Goes without saying. Who is being pushed on Monday Night Raw?
I think Ali. He's facing he beat Riddle. Riddle was the US champion.
No. If that is
he's like, Retribution's losing, everybody. What are we doing? You guys are a bunch of losers.
I was talking about this with someone the other day, and if they're here,
New Day's picking up some victories. They get a tag title match next week.
This is not good, man. These are your suggestions. This is very bad. Are you gonna say next Miz?
No, they're not.
There's no sort of sense of like who he intends or who they intend to have here.
You know who they're pushing, Joseph? You know who they're pushing?
Okay.
Bow down, the Queen Charlotte Flair.
Yeah. She's like, you think you got something to prove? Prove it to me over the next 5 weeks. Like, okay, Charlotte Flair, I apologize for talking about the woman's title. It's true. Like, it's the ultimate status quo booking. It's just like, okay, yeah, Asuka and Charlotte's going to be really good. Like, really? That's where you're going? I guess they were going to push Lacey. So
here's my suggestion on The Fiend, since the mask is still up. Fastlane. You do Alexa and Randy. She does the box gimmick, right? The Fiend in a box. He pops out and claws, gets the claw on Randy, but it's a figment of all of our imaginations. All right? Randy comes to television the next day, and he's like, what happened? You know, I'm ready to fight the Fiend. And Alexa's like, he's not there, Randy. He's not there. It's all a figment. What came out of that box? That was not the Fiend. That is your past catching up to you, haunting you. And then Randy enters the funhouse at WrestleMania. So then you kind of bring him back without bringing him back.
I mean, yeah, man. It sounds awesome. Sounds great. Here's my pitch. Ready? Here's my pitch. You book Randy and Alexa for Fastlane, and the Fiend Bray Wyatt shows up. Okay.
So I just pitched.
Wait, Jeremy, can't. This is how creative works. You have to.
I'm doing a Kenny Bolin gimmick. It just is cutting you off. Right?
Okay, listen. Okay. So the Fiend Bray Wyatt shows up, and Alexa Bliss just immediately kicks him in the balls. Like, I mean, directly in the balls. Immediately, the Fiend is foul. And Randy Orton gets a match and sets Bray Wyatt on fire, and that's it. We write the Fiend Bray Wyatt off. Okay, ready? Hit me out, Jeremy. I know you think I'm gonna listen. And Randy gets the mic and he's like, "Observe this, brother. What you're looking at is two of the great professional wrestlers on Monday Night Raw. And guess what we're gonna do now?" And everyone's like, "Well, they're gonna do this, you know, the Thunderdome." We're like, they're all talking amongst themselves, and he's like, "We're gonna go back to being good professional wrestlers that do good professional wrestling programs." And everyone, like, literally, Tom Phillips throws his head to the ground like that. Samoa Joe falls out of his chair. No one can believe it. Randy Orton's
like, this isn't in the script. What are they doing?
He's full Mark Madden in it. He's got the format up, the whole deal. Tank Abbott's there. And Randy's like, do you remember 6 months ago when everyone said, oh, my goodness, Randall Orton is at the peak of his career. He's finally fulfilling his potential. Remember that guy? He's back, folks. And Alexa Bliss is like, remember when I was the only female heel that could cut a good promo? And the Thunderdome just says yes. And she's like, well, you know, this division has no one that can do it now. I'm going to do that, okay? And then everyone, naturally, Phillip stands up, puts his hand up. He goes, what's going to happen to the Fiend Bray Wyatt? Nothing. Nothing happens to the Fiend Bray Wyatt. He moves on. He goes and does this in NXT with the Karrion Kross. They draw lots of money down there in the third territory. And we all move on with our lives. Your thoughts?
Horrible. God awful. This is the worst idea you've ever had.
No, it's not. It's a great idea. Is.
No, we need more Randy coughing up chocolate syrup and Fiend popping out of a box. Dude, they've got to pay off. They've got to pay off possessed Randy Orton here. And with the multiple, remember last week, Joseph, Randy Orton came in the hood and he had the demonic voice. We got to pay that off. I think we got to do a Randy versus Randy match. I think that's what we got to get here. All right. I got a new pitch for you.
Okay.
Fiend in a box. Alexa's doing the box gimmick. Pops out. It's not Bray Wyatt. It's Randy Orton RKOing Randy Orton.
That would be fast. I've always wanted to see Randy Orton against Randy Orton, so that does sound good. Okay, but hang on. I have another idea. Okay? I have no idea. The ratings have just come through. JJ says AEW 743, NXT 691. Terrible numbers. There you go. Right. Nonetheless.
Whatever.
Last Monday, a new women's wrestler laid down her stake at the number one promo in the business. Okay. Peyton Royce, Jeremy, Peyton Royce. She didn't observe this promo on Monday. Here's what we do. Okay. Pigtails, Peyton becomes Alexa Bliss. Alexa Bliss goes back to being Alexa Bliss. Your thoughts?
All right.
You still do. We do both. You do your RKO.
Okay.
Yeah, because Peyton, I mean, when she was cutting that promo.
Is there a concern, though, based on Peyton's promo on Raw Talk, and then if she's going to go into this role, like how quickly is Hollywood snatching her up? That's got to be concerning.
It's a good point, man. I mean, when I was watching Raw Talk, because I always do, I clicked off a bit, and I was scrambling. I nearly broke my remote. I said, "Who put Crockett TV on here? What's Dusty Rhodes doing on the television?" My brother goes, "No, that's not Dusty. That's Peyton Royce. It's Peyton Royce. Never heard anything like it. It was unbelievable. I couldn't fathom what I was watching." But you know, there you go. I think we've saved it. Long term planning be damned. I know that Bruce watches the show, Bruce. Congratulations on your new hot angles. Thank us later, my friend. But it is almost 4 p.m. Eastern time.
Well, first, we got a super chat. Music and Moonsault says not having a clear plan for AJ at Mania at this point is criminal. Blame Christian. He went to AEW. Christian was supposed to face AJ.
Just complete fake scoop. You're just going to claim as being real life. There you go.
It is almost 4 o'clock, Joseph. We know what happens at 4 o'clock. Does it kill 30 seconds of time here before 4 o'clock actually hits?
I'm very scared about what's about to happen, Jeremy. I'm very scared.
I am too. Look, folks, if you're looking for Robert O'Neill's corner three, he's been fired. All right? He's been fired.
We're going to talk about this.
We will. We have a new segment to debut, though, right now, 4 o'clock. Here we go. Sean Ross Sapp's pull up three.
Pulls up, three-pointer. Bang! Bang! Let's go!
What's up, you guys? Sean Ross Sapp. I was asked by Jeremy to do this and didn't want to do it, but you know what? It replaces Robert O'Neill on Fightful, so I decided to do it because of that. It was Rob's is called Corner 3. Mine's called, like, Pull Out 3. I think it should be called, like, Pulling Out 8 or something like that, but whatever. It's neither here nor there. I'm reviewing television apps, I think, and this became a thing because I tweeted about Discovery Plus. Never envisioned myself as a Discovery Plus subscriber, but you know what? It's about all I watch these days. When I get done watching wrestling, I want to watch something that is quite vividly different than pro wrestling or MMA, so I decide to watch things about murder. And that's what we're looking at right here, the Discovery Plus app on digital. I love shows like this, Web of Lies, that tell you about like cyber crimes and stuff like that. But they got a really great collection. Joe Kenda is a sarcastic, smarmy asshole that is also a great detective. They have some documentaries. They've got body cam video shows. They've got murder tape shows. Any type of this person gets murdered by that person show you can imagine they got. Deadly women, deadly grannies, deadly aunties. It's mainly that. It's for some reason they don't really. I mean, I guess 95% of murders are probably by men anyway, so they can just do Evil Lives Here, Fear Thy Neighbor, Where Murder Lies. Like, they have a niche for every type of murder. Like, if you want to watch somebody recount a story about getting murdered with oven mitts on, there's a show for that here. The show that got me into this was I Almost Got Away With It, which is a fugitive show. I watched it on Netflix like years ago. Then they took it off. It was gone. And the only way that I could watch it is on DVR or YouTube. So I'm pretty stoked about that. Very excited about that. But I love the Joe Kenda shows. The only thing I watch outside of this is Fixer Upper. Joanna Gaines is brilliant. Chip Gaines is Discovery Channel AJ Styles. It's an all right show. I don't really mind it. My wife watches the Irwin show, the kids of the Crocodile Hunter. You know, he's dope. He's cool. Whatever. But I mean, just look at all these. I think there are more shows about murders than there actually have been murders. I think they had to double dip on some of this stuff. I ain't even joking about that. They did double dip on some of it. But if you're into true crime like I am, here you go. What do you want me to say? It's like $5-6 a month. No commercials. You get the seasons before they even come out on the channel. Whatever, do it. It's good.
That has been Sean Ross Sapp's Pull Up 3.
Pulls up, three-pointer. Bang! Bang! It's good!
There you go, Joseph. New segment. I thought it was all right.
How interesting, Jeremy Lambert. How terribly interesting. Where to start with what I've just watched? Number one, it is clear that was a transparent advertisement for something that I will not get no money from. I refuse any counterpoints in that regard. That's the first thing. Okay. Number two, Sean Morissette, I'm concerned about you. I'm worried. You are a star in this realm, and I'm genuinely concerned for you. Genuinely concerned as to your lack of enthusiasm putting over what I assume was a topic you were excited to talk about. It made you should actually be talking about wrestling on here. You looked like me. Sean Morissette, you're not me. Okay. Sean, I'm worried about you. Okay. And I'm going to reach out and message you in a way that I usually would only message you if someone was upset with me and the All Elite Fleet. And that's serious. Okay. That's about Sean. Sean, I'm checking on you. I'm worried. Okay. Let's put that aside. Get to real important matters here. I fought for Robert O'Neill. Okay. When everyone laughed and said, oh, that guy's a dick, the quote tweet assassin, Robert O'Neill, I put my hand up and I said, you know the number one wrestling platform? I want him on that. I said, what, a draft show with three of the great entertainers on this earth? I want him on that. They said he couldn't do it. I said, I know. He couldn't do it, okay? He couldn't do it. But I trusted him. No, Siri. No, stop. I trusted him because I knew that in the ring, when the bell rung, he could deliver, okay? Shades of Bobby Eaton, dare I say, Jeremy Lambert. The promo is faulty. You give him something to sink his teeth into a review, you get the best segment ever, the only segment of our show that's been clipped. Hundreds of people have watched it because they loved it so much. The Robert O'Neill corner free. Okay? That man went from Danny Ainge to, like, the big boss man. Like that, Jeremy, okay? Because I trusted him. You take this idea, this brilliance, you package it with your wonderful Photoshop skills and music editing. Next thing I know, it's like, oh, it's a joint effort. We got O'Neill over. So he's going well. Okay, he makes a mistake. He turns up late every once in a while. Sure. Maybe sometimes he falls short of his time. Okay. We find him. We move on. I come on here today to find out this man has been legitimately fired. So I have a statement to make. I have come on this show for 15 months, Jeremy Lambert, and today I had to talk about The Fiend Bray Wyatt again, and here's the worst thing. I wanted to, because I have nothing else to talk about. I don't watch these shows anymore. I scroll through them purely for the sake of having an opinion so I can get involved in these bullshit arguments that people have online, only to sit here with you and agree on everything anyway. It is a waste of my time. So, with all that in mind, okay, I have a line to be drawn here, okay? If Robert O'Neill is not on my screen at 4 p.m. Eastern time on the 18th of March 2021, where he belongs, Robert O'Neill's corner free, bang, okay? It's over, Jeremy. It is over.
You're threatening.
Yes, I am.
You do this every week, Joseph.
No, this is different. This is different. You know it's different.
This is different. Every week you threaten, I'm done. You do this on Tuesday. You threaten to quit on Tuesday.
But you know it's different. You know it's different, okay? Oh, I text Jeremy. I say, do I need to watch Rory? He says, yes, you have to watch it three times, back to front, make notes. It's why, Jeremy? He says, because you're a professional.
Joseph, I know you love Robert O'Neill. You cut a very passionate promo. What people are not going to see until the distraction documentary comes out is the promo Joseph cut for me to get O'Neal on this show. Because I didn't want him. I was like, I don't want Robert O'Neal, the Robert O'Neal section of Twitter. He's bad news. He's trouble. And Joseph's like, no. Listen to me, Jeremy. You have to do it. I promise you he's going to stay in line. It's going to be good. He's going to boost our ratings. We're going to get him over. He's going to get us over. I said, okay, all right, Joseph, I trust you. I'll have him on. It worked. I fully admit it worked. He was good. He was good enough to where I think I was the one who gave him the corner three segment. I was like, this is good. I like that. Yeah, I'm taking credit for it. I am. I did the graphics. I did the fancy graphics for him. You were upset that I did fancy graphics for him, Joseph. You were like, I've been on the show 15 months. I never got fancy graphics. I was like, look, you fought for this guy. I'm going to make sure we get him there. And I did. So I got him the fancy graphics. He showed up late. He's always messaging me in the DMs about how I can't do this. I can't do that. He's a head case. I couldn't have it anymore. I couldn't. Sean Rossap, very professional. Sean's like, here you go. On time too. Perfectly 3 minutes. They didn't go under, didn't go over, got everything in. Sean's a professional at this. Say what you will about his content. Not always great. One thing you won't say about Sean Rossap is that he's not a professional, because he is. So that he's here. He's staying here. Robert O'Neill's not going to be on the show next week. And if you want to quit, if you want to put this entire show on Robert O'Neill showing up at 4 o'clock next week, fine. If that's what you want to do, Joseph, if you want to throw this entire 15-month run we've had away for Robert O'Neill being on time next week, that's on you.
That's what I want, Jeremy Lambert. I'm a man of integrity. I'm a man of loyalty. And O'Neill, for all of his faults, he brings a dynamic to this show. And the audience will agree, he brings something that simply cannot be matched elsewhere. He brings hat selfies, okay? He brings 900 words of notes. He brings all of these things for, let's be honest, a relatively low price of $5,000 a week. Okay? Let's just be fair here. Now, if you really want to pull back the curtain and shoot, brother, the real reality here is that the initial segment was Joel Pearl's mid-range three. He's mid-range three. Yeah,
that's a Russell Westbrook shot, yeah.
And I said, there's no such thing, Jeremy. He said, I know, a mid-range shot. And I said, fine, what about O'Neal? Next thing you know, the hat's out, everyone's loving it, and it's Jeremy's idea, apparently. Well, I must have missed that. I am not a man to throw my power around here, Jeremy. You force me to talk about professional wrestling every week, and I merely turn up and say, okay, Jeremy, we'll talk about these things, okay? I don't know why. I finished Breaking Bad this week. I could have done a whole show on that. Why didn't I? Because I'm a nice guy. I let you run this thing. You like talking about wrestling. You love it, okay? So I come on, I do my job. However, you can only push a man so far. And if this show lacks O'Neal in future, moving forward, you have a week to settle this, okay? New contract, whatever you need to do. It's done. Pearl's in, I'm out. Whoever you want to get. I have certain things you cannot do to me. O'Neal, top of the list.
One, I think you're bluffing. Two, I don't even care if you are bluffing, Joseph, because I will replace you with Joel Pearl so quick. I'm not having O'Neal back on this show. I'm not.
Look, that's it. I think you're going to live to regret that. I know your DMs are filling as we speak here.
They are. I've already got, let me check here. I legitimately have 3 DMs saying, watching the distraction, is this a shoot or a work? What's going on? Do you need a new co-host after next week? I'm going to reply to them and say, yes, I do need a new co-host next week.
Wow. Wow, Jeremy Lambert. Wow. This is a new low. Look, here's what I'm saying, okay? I'm always honest with our audience.
Send the message.
Okay. I'm not going to say anything.
I got a text. I will flash the text message up on the screen to prove to you that I have sent this text message.
Oh, no.
I will not tweet evidence. It out. I will tweet it out right now.
Look, it's the simple deal here, okay? I'm honest with my audience, and I'm merely telling them that if our friend Jeremy Lambert does not fix this...
Sending it. See?
It's It's over. It's completely finished if this doesn't go as it needs to. You've all been warned, okay? Joel Pearl, you did not pitch anything. Jeremy was pitching it for you. Very sad.
Sent a text message. It's just been read.
Yeah.
See, I might get a response right now.
It's interesting because the last person that sent a text in that conversation was you. So, you know, I'm intrigued by, you know, I'm not saying it's fake. I'm just saying. See, I'm here. You know, I love this business, and I've tried my best, but you've pushed me too far with this. Especially because it seems like Sean didn't even want to do the segment. You bullied him into replacing O'Neill. They were friends.
Because I needed a professional.
His charm is his unprofessionalism. I've told you this before. It's part of his bit. How do you not get O'Neill? He's the most over guy on our show. Push him. Long term. We need to be getting him ready.
Not happening.
Look, man, it's out of my hands now. You do your thing. Very, very sad times, though, because Robert O'Neill got over and we pulled the rug out from under him. This is like shades of Zack Ryder in 2012, Jeremy. You should be ashamed of yourself, what you're doing here in the fight for office.
I'm done speaking to you. We'll speak next week.
Okay. I'm glad we're not doing a post show on Twitch this week, because that would be a real catastrophe for our angle here.
It's definitely good that we're not going to be live on twitch.tv / Fightful Gaming in 15 minutes doing a post show where we keep talking and maybe play video games and stuff.
Yeah, because we might fight if that was the case. So
it's also good that we won't be on twitch.tv/Fightful Gaming tomorrow, you know, booking Booty Pro Wrestling as well.
Exactly right. Look, the chat's going to be upset with you. So you do it as you want, man. Like, I'm seeing the chat come through, and people are like, "Dude, whatever you do, I'll never come back."
Exactly. Exactly.
That's tough. But I do not have the control to do that. I cannot just merely click comments. So I can't click on the many that say, "I will literally never watch Fightful again if O'Neill is replaced." There are a lot of those, so I'll just have to, you know, take the loss.
I don't see them. Otherwise, I would click them, but they're not there.
You're banning them, Jeremy. You're banning them. You're taking their signs away. They've got beach balls. Come on.
Everybody should be banned. I'm going to ban this entire program.
You're going to have to if Joel Pearl takes my place. I'll tell you that much for sure, okay? Because, I've been drawing houses for some time now. You know that, Jeremy Lambert. You don't want to see what happens. You replace me and O'Neill in 1 week, territory's done. We'll move on.
This show survives off of me, Joseph. I've told you that from the very beginning. All right. I can get Joel Pearl in here and we will be just fine.
Look, I said what I need to say. You are Gallows and Sean Ross Sapp is Don Callis. He thinks you're great. It's tremendous, okay? But I'm the machine gun, Jeremy. I'm the one that keeps this glass stirring. You got to understand that. I'm not here to push any further, okay? Clearly, in this landscape, in wrestling media, I have 101 very fruitful opportunities awaiting me. You know this, Jeremy. I do. This is just one of the seven-figure offers I have on the table, okay? I can leave it. That's what I'm saying.
Leave it. O'Neill's not going to be here next week. I'll see you next week for an hour, and then at 4 o'clock, that's it.
Apparently so. Can I get one last Twitter plug before we never do this again?
Sure. Plug what you want.
Okay, everyone. Follow me on Twitter at Joe Holbert. My new website, Joyous Wrestling 101, where Robert O'Neill and I will be breaking down the positives of professional wrestling moving forward. Frankly, I've become increasingly tired of the haters on Fightful, of the fake scoops on Fightful, and we are going to be bringing grins and nothing but when we're inevitably thrown off this show. That's the truth of it. Okay, this has been brought in for some time. Everyone knows I've quit many times. Clearly. This is different.
Bye, everyone.
Spring, is that you? Warmer temps mean new Allbirds styles. Meet the new Superlight Collection, the lightest ever shoes from Allbirds, now in fresh colors. These must-have travel shoes have a lighter-than-air feel and barely-there fit that made them the most packable shoes ever. Plus, they're comfy right out of the box. That means more comfort and less baggage. Experience how Allbirds is redefining comfort. Visit Allbirds.com and use code SUPER24 for a free pair of socks with a purchase of $48 or more. That's Allbirds.com, code SUPER24.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.